This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN Radio. Thanks for dialing in. I'm John Williams. Pete Zimmerman is your producer, and Jared Dillion joins us frequently on the show, and there he is again. Hi, Jared.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
JaredDillionMoney.com. You may have read some of his financial books. Let's talk a little bit about what's in the books today financially. The jobs report wasn't good. I don't know what your thought is about hiring, but what's the latest?
Yeah, I thought it would come in a little bit light. It came in really light. So just to go over the numbers again, we were expecting 1 million new jobs being created, and instead we only got 266,000. And we expected the unemployment rate to fall to 5.8%, and instead it went up to 6.1%. So, you know, there may be kind of a paradox here because, you know, as you go around town and you see that you have businesses with signs, help wanted signs, and, you know, signing bonuses and stuff like that. And there's such a demand for workers. And yet the unemployment rate goes up. That doesn't make any sense. And it's a direct result of the enhanced unemployment benefits that we're paying, the extra $300 a week. I mean, basically, on average, people are getting paid about $21 an hour not to work, which means, you know, just as rational economic behavior, they're not going to come work for a job that pays $15 an hour. So employers have to pay much more than that in order to get people to come work. And I think that, you know, in a couple of months, we'll probably see lots of low-skilled jobs that pay $25 to $30 an hour.
I also, one of our guests yesterday, Michael Miller, an economist at DePaul University, said that to whatever degree the stimulus and the unemployment supplement has discouraged people from working. Another factor in that labor shortage is the fact that a lot of people have just quit or retired. A lot of people are out of the labor pool, and so there is a shortage of labor supply. He didn't put it all, Jared, on people not wanting to go to work for 15 when they can get 20 on the sideline.
That's about two-thirds of the story, but yes, you're right. The other part of the story is there's a lot of people retiring. There's been about 1.2 million retirements in the last year, above and beyond what we usually get. It's mostly very affluent people, you know, people who have substantial savings. Mm-hmm. And the pandemic, you know, from an employment standpoint, was really hard. They were doing Zoom meetings at 6 a.m. and they were sitting in front of their computers all day. And they said, you know, I just don't have the energy to go back to work and I have savings. So life is short and I'm going to retire. So what you've seen is that the labor force has shrunk significantly. Now, we have this piece of data called the employment to population ratio. This is basically the number of people who have jobs versus the number of people in the economy. And before the pandemic, it was about 61%, and now it's about 57%. And the Fed is looking at this data, and they want to get the employment to population ratio back to 61%, but we won't be able to because of these structural reasons.
Are you saying that 57% of the U.S. population works, only 57%?
Yeah, that's correct.
Now,
yeah.
Does that include children who wouldn't be working? But still, it's a common number, so it's something to compare to. We were at 61, now we're at 57.
Yep, that's correct.
So if you're one of the 57, that's the burden that I guess the employed part of America carries. Now, that's a fascinating number. I never heard of the employment to population ratio. There's something else I was going to ask you about that. Oh, yeah. Well, so I wonder if the maybe silver lining to this jobs report, which is disappointing, is that interest rates stay down and the markets continue to go up, right?
Well, if you look at the bond market after the employment report, you know, bonds spiked up initially and 10-year interest rates got down to 1.5%, but then they came back up and they're about unchanged on the day. I don't think interest rates are going to go a lot lower. And on the contrary, you know, the economy, in spite of the structural problems with the labor market, is running pretty hot.
I said interest rates, didn't I? I meant inflation. Inflation stays low. But go ahead, keep talking.
Yeah. So the economy is running very hot. And, you know, I think there is kind of a floor to interest rates. And I do think they go higher in the short to medium term.
Okay, let's pause here. I want to talk to you a little bit more about the S&P and the markets, but also something you describe as the cult of home ownership. You also predicted gas, airfare, and food prices were going to rise, and there we are. What else is in your crystal ball? Best-selling financial author Jared Dillian at jareddillianmoney.com is on the Wintrust Business Lunch. You wrote something about home ownership, Jared. What's your point? Why are you talking about that?
Yeah, I was talking about the cult of home ownership. What I mean by that is you simply don't have to own a home. I mean, it's home ownership in this country is a cult. Everybody believes they have to own a house. You know, when I talk to younger people, usually late 20s, early 30s, you know, what they say to me is they're like, you know, I am renting and I don't feel like an adult. And I'm not going to feel like an adult until I own a house. But, and a lot of people think that homeownership is cheaper than renting, but in 90% of the time, it's actually more expensive because people don't take into account property taxes or insurance or maintenance on the house. So oftentimes it's more expensive. And, you know, a lot of people end up buying a house that's too big for what they need, and they take out too much debt, mm-hmm. which crowds out their ability to save, and they end up paying a lot in interest to the bank.
But if you do it right, though, it is a good investment, isn't it?
You know, if you look at the long history of housing going back about 70 or 80 years, historically, it's returned about 4% a year, which has kept pace with inflation. Now, obviously, right now, the housing market is very hot. It's gone up 15% in about the last 6 months, but that's kind of an aberration. But over the long term, really, it's only 4% a year. There are better investments, but the one reason that housing is a great investment mm-hmm. is because it's very difficult to sell, which means people hold it for long periods of time. Yeah. They hold it for 10, 20, 30 years, and they let it compound as opposed to the stocks they have in their brokerage account, which they're trading around every couple of weeks.
Plus, you got to live somewhere. I mean, if it's not the best investment and you're renting, you're not getting any of that money back, right?
Yeah, but I just the point is that, you know, renting is really okay. And from a lifestyle standpoint, in a lot of ways, it's easier.
Yeah.
You know, if the toilet backs up, then it's not your problem. You call the landlord and somebody else takes care of it.
Or if the market's flat, that's not your loss. That I mean, I'm assuming everybody's going to make money when they sell their house. And Lord knows that's not always true. You said the gas was going to go up, airfare and food. They did. When did you say that? And upon what were you predicting that? Was that a pandemic prediction?
It was in part a pandemic prediction. You know, what I was saying was that after the pandemic, that people would travel in unprecedented numbers. They would drive. They would engage in economic activity. The economy would pick up steam. So, and that prices would go higher. And all of that has happened.
What are you looking at now? Anything else you see coming?
You know, the prices of commodities have gone up a lot, and it's getting a little bit stretched. If you look at the agricultural commodities like corn or wheat or soybeans or hogs or cattle or lumber, you know, a lot of these futures contracts are in backwardation, and they're pretty steep backwardation. And what that means is that's when the price of the front month contract is above the deferred month contract, and it's usually a sign of supply tightness. So I think that the commodities are getting a little bit stretched in the short term, and I wouldn't be surprised to see a correction.
You're talking about lumber, cars, things like that?
Well, for sure, lumber. I don't know about cars.
Well, but I do know that it was a conversation we had a little earlier today. There's a story in the Tribune, and it is about the supply of used vehicles on the lots. I took a lot of calls from listeners about this. If you are trying to buy a new vehicle, you may have to wait. You can trade your used vehicle in. You're going to get top dollar for it, but now you got to pay top dollar for a new car because inventory is so tight on the car dealer lots right now.
Yeah, I'm a little bit aware of this. There's a subscriber of mine who told me that he bought a new car 2 years ago and sold it this year for 24% higher than what he paid for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the average new car price, pardon me, the average used car price last year was around 14 something. This year it is 17, just over 17. It's never been higher. And you know that if you are trading your car in, you're rich. The problem is you're going to pay a lot. It's kind of like the housing market in a way, right, Jared? You can get a lot of money for your house right now. Guess what? The next guy is going to get a lot of money for his.
Yeah, and you have to own a car and you have to own a house.
Exactly. How not to become a rich jerk is something else you wrote about. This is a problem a lot of us would like to have. What are you writing about here?
Well, what I'm talking about is that there's been, you know, thousands of books about how to handle failure, you know, professional failures, failures in your marriage, failures in your personal life, how to bounce back from failure. But nobody has ever written a book about how to handle success. And sometimes people become professionally successful and they make a lot of money and they're faced with two problems. One is how to behave. And the second is, what do you do with all the money? And a lot of people just don't know how to handle the success.
Give me an example. What are you talking about?
I don't know if I have an example off the top of my head, but, you know, even in my Wall Street career, you know, you had pretty young guys that were in their late 20s that were making multiple six figures or higher, and they were spending it. You know, they were spending it. They weren't putting it aside. And then, of course, you know, I worked at Lehman Brothers, and the firm eventually went bankrupt. And after working at the bank for about 5 to 10 years, they had nothing to show for it at the end.
Surprised to hear that. I mean, we always hear about NBA players, you know, professional athletes, entertainers who make a lot of money when they're young, didn't get the guidance and have nothing to show for it. But you're the money guys. You're the ones who ought to know how to handle the money.
I think financial people generally do a better job than the athletes, but you still do have some folks that that don't get it.
I also think there's, I suspect you were thinking about this as well, a modicum of modesty that you hope a really wealthy person carries about the, you know, with themselves. And I don't know exactly how they're supposed to behave, but I guess flaunting it is the opposite of what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, and it kind of depends on where you are in the country. I mean, there's some cultures where you do flaunt your wealth. I mean, Miami is one, Los Angeles is another. But, you know, I live here in the South, and there's some wealthy people in town. And, you know, if you saw them walk down the street, you would never know it.
Where is it in? Is it in Japan that the savings rate is much higher, like 10% of their income they automatically save? I'm just wondering how we do, you know, if we did want to sock away some money and have it in the bank, how good are Americans compared to other cultures?
Well, Americans got a lot better during the pandemic. I mean, going into the pandemic, the savings rate was about 6%. At the bottom of the pandemic, it got all the way up to 33%, which was a bit of an outlier. But now it's settled in around 13 or 14%, which is very high in historical terms. So people actually made some pretty good habits during the pandemic, and they're better at saving money.
Hopefully we'll keep them, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with keeping 10% of your gross in the bank, right?
No, that's pretty good. And if you started doing that at age 22 and you did that over your career, you wouldn't have to worry about retirement at all.
I know you're not a big fan of some of the stimulus and the supplements, but if you do get that, the idea is to spend it. Would you encourage people to do that?
No, I would not, actually. If you have debt, if you're getting free money, if you're getting stimulus or unemployment benefits, and you have credit card debt, then deleverage, pay down the debt. And that's what a lot of people have done. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but consumer credit balances have gone down quite a bit.
That's good news, too. Jared Dillian, jareddillianmoney.com to find out more like this. Nice to talk to you, Jared. Let's do it again.
Okay, thanks, John.
Wintrust Business Lunch is produced by Pete Zimmerman. This is John Williams. You'll hear his name with Anna DeVlantis a little later on. Hopefully you won't hear my voice a little later on the Anna DeVlantis show. I had to do double duty for a few minutes yesterday, and then Anna came in swimmingly with another terrific show. So listen to this. You have maybe noticed around Chicagoland some pretty funny shirts, T-shirts. Joe Johnson is the founder of Obvious Shirts at obviousshirts.com. Hi, Joe. You're on WGN Radio.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It all started at a Cubs game where you wore a shirt that said what?
Yeah, it said Jake Arrieta is good at baseball, and that was in 2015 when, you know, arguably he had the best second half of any pitcher in baseball's long history. And so I thought the understatement would be funny and it would catch people's attention. And it did.
That's a shirt you just had printed up for yourself?
Yeah, I had my buddy. I was working downtown Chicago at the time. And I had my buddy who used to sell T-shirts in college. I had the idea at work a couple weeks prior. And he told me he could get one made. And I, you know, paid him to have one custom T-shirt made. And I was a season ticket holder at the time, and I wore it to Jake's, you know, start after the shirt was on my back. or I was able to wear it to a game, and Jake, you know, pitched one of the best games of the season. So, you know, a lot of luck went into this. If Jake didn't have that type of game, I wouldn't have got bombarded by people asking me where they could buy the shirt, and I had to tell them.
Yeah, he throws the shutout with 11 strikeouts. Some people said that was one of the best pitch games ever. It was really fantastic. So what, walking
it
out?
It was.
And walking out, people are like, hey, can I get one of those shirts? Where'd you get the shirt?
Yeah. By the third inning, I went up to get a beer in center field bleachers, and I think he already had like 6 strikeouts or 7 strikeouts by then, and I just got bombarded by people asking me where they could take or where they could buy the shirt. I took a bunch of photos with people that just wanted the photo to show somebody. But yeah, I guess the intent was to get reactions out of people, and I guess I succeeded at that because it rolled into something much bigger than I ever imagined.
The art of this shirt is nothing clever. It's just a plain shirt with simple lettering, and I guess that is the art of it, right? The understatement makes it that much funnier, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When I designed it, I wanted it to be as basic as possible. I wanted it to be as uncreative and unimaginable as it could be. I took an architecture class in college, and this is bad that I'm saying this publicly, but the one takeaway that I remember from the class was Helvetica font is the easiest font to read from the naked eye. And so I remember that, and I just said, okay, I'm going to do Helvetica font, all bold, left justified, just like a textbook, and that's how it was born.
Still, there's a certain poetry in the simplicity and obviousness of your words. Joe Johnson's on a phone line, and he's the founder of Obvious Shirts, obviousshirts.com. So you love baseball, you love the Cubs. So if I may, I'll just read from some of your shirts. You ready?
Sure.
The greatest game ever played was on a Wednesday in Cleveland, period. What if I told you 17 minutes of rain would wash away 108 years of drought? There's the I'd rather be at Wrigley, but the one that really made me laugh was a shirt that simply says, St. Louis is boring. Well done, sir. Kyle Hendricks is good. Ian Happ makes me coffee. What does that mean?
Yeah, so Ian reached out about a year ago, right before the pandemic, and he was great, and he just said he was a big fan of the brand that I built, and if we could collaborate, he has a good idea that could tie into t-shirts, and he has a coffee company called Connect Roasters, and he has his own line of coffee, and it gives back to, like the food pantry in Chicago. It was a quarantine coffee, and so, yeah, we made shirts to go along with it, and he helped me promote it, and then that's rolled into a whole new business relationship that's been really, really successful with Ian and his Compound podcast, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger from there.
Here's
throughout the Cubs.
You have a shirt that says, Javi Baez will tag you out. I was thinking about the other day, I forget what the play was in the field. It wasn't Javi tagging somebody out, but I know it was. It was Rizzo reaching down the right field line into the bleachers to catch a foul ball. And I said, Anthony Rizzo, especially in the World Series year, but Ryder is remembered, I think, by Cubs fans as having the unique ability to track and put himself in harm's way and grab foul balls sometimes into the bleachers. And isn't that a funny thing to know and love your first baseman for? And Javi Baez's ability to tag people out is another one of those skills that everybody has, but Javi's made it an art. And we haven't seen so much of that lately, but a few years ago, it was so much fun just to watch him. Who would have thunk the tag at second base, right?
He made tagging an art form. He made tagging cool. He's the best I've ever seen. I played middle infield my whole life, all the way through college, and I have, you know, a strong affinity for middle infielders, and I obviously follow the Cubs closely.
Yeah.
I've never seen anybody like him. Absolutely not. Nowhere close with the glove. His glove work is the best in the business.
That's the way to put it.
I had to make it hurt.
Javi Baez will tag you out. Beer tastes better in the bleachers. Here's one that not everybody will get, but a Cubs fan would. 8-7-10, period. 8-7-10. And
yeah, the last word spoken before they celebrated.
Yeah. Literally spoken? Was that the broadcast? Is that a quote from the play-by-play booth?
Yeah, so like the last words, if you rewatch the clip, it depends, you know, who you listen to or which picture, which film clip you see, but yeah, he said Joe Buck says 8-7-10, and I was just like, that's shirt.
There's a shirt. I can make money on that. Wilson yeah. Contreras will throw you out. I love Wilson Contreras's game. I love the way he runs. Dang. I love the way he approaches the plate. I love the way he throws you out. Anthony Rizzo is good at baseball. Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt. We have the Play Like Wilson Contreras Today shirt, which is obviously a spinoff of the Notre Dame sign, but I thought that you would enjoy that because I, like yourself, really think that Wilson is a diamond in the rough, and I think he's a huge asset to the organization, and I think more players should bring the same energy to the field every day. So I made that shirt, just Play Like Wilson Contreras Today.
I won't have time to read all of your shirts. Is there?
There's a lot.
It's all good. Our manager hit a 410-foot bomb to dead center in Game 7. There's a T-shirt.
Yep.
Imagine giving up on Chris Bryant and Anthony freaking Rizzo. What's the talk to me about the Chris Bryant shirt. What are you doing there?
Yeah, so, you know, we all Cubs fans know the rise of Chris Bryant, and, you know, he was the college baseball player of the year, and then he was the rookie of the year, and then he was the NL MVP, and then he won a World Series. So the expectation was sky high. And when he had some injuries, you know, come his way and didn't put up the numbers people had expected, which was already kind of unfair projections, a lot of people, you know, last year in 2019 kind of, in my opinion, they kind of gave up on him, and he's been rumors and trade talks.
Yeah,
and I think Chris Bryant is a very rare talent and is exceptional and can play to that ability again. So I kind of just threw that out there for the haters, because I could never give up on a guy like that.
You know what's going to happen. I mean, I understand where that conversation came from, but if we gave up on Chris Bryant, he'd be a Triple Crown guy again the next year. So let's just not even give let's not make him our next version of Greg Maddux, for crying out loud.
That is so true.
We have to go, but you have an I Miss Sammy Sosa shirt. Have you sold two of those?
Yeah, so that's a tough one. I'm obviously on the side of bring Sammy back, because he was a huge part of my childhood and fandom. I know the negative publicity that follows him as well.
Yeah.
But if I can do anything to get people excited about him, you know, I'm going to do that, because the memories that he created were real, and the feelings that I felt when I would go to a Cubs game and see him were real. The feelings were still there. So. I'm Team Sammy.
That's a real Cub fan. That's Joe Johnson. He's the founder of Obvious Shirts, obviousshirts.com. And as we go, let's just mention there are Team Mongo shirts in a variety of styles for men and women to help Steve McMichael. It's donated to Mongo and Misty to help fight ALS. Team Mongo shirts, 100% of the proceeds go to that good cause. So good on you, sir. Keep selling those shirts, Joe.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I had a blast talking Cubs baseball with you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, would you do WGN shirts, you know, like I Like Bob Surratt? I mean, could that be a shirt that would happen? How does that happen?
Send me an email to joe@obviousshirts.com, and we will we'll get it, whatever you guys want.
Okay. I'm not sure I kind of like that idea, to be honest with you. I got to take a break. It's 12:45, obviousshirts.com. Let's head back into the WGN Radio Newsroom on the Business Lunch with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A second company will make electric vehicles in Illinois and will create hundreds of jobs. Canadian electric vehicle maker Lion Electric will open a manufacturing facility in Joliet with more than 800 jobs. The company makes school buses and trucks, and up to 20,000 vehicles will roll off the assembly line when production begins late next year. Lion Electric plans to spend $70 million over 3 years on the 900-square-foot facility in Joliet. Lion joins Rivian as the second company making electric vehicles in Illinois. The Rivian plant is in downstate Normal. Motorola Solutions has announced that the French Ministry of Interior will deploy 30,000 of Motorola's body-worn cameras to its national and military police. The deal is valued at $17.5 million and is one of the largest Motorola has ever deployed. The cameras should be in operation by this summer. The company has also deployed its cameras in the UK, Romania, and in Nashville. I'm Steve Gratanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Mary, I'm thinking of a bunch of T-shirts now. Lou Manfredini fixes my bleep.
Oh.
Ask me for a speed joke. Bob Surratt is napping. Shh. These are all T-shirts that we could have produced.
Oh, man. We could make so much money for causes. That's a great idea.
It's a good idea. Now somebody down the hall is going, stop it, John. We're busy with the business of food. Here's Steve Alexander.
This is the Mother's Day edition of the Business of Food. I wanted to honor farm moms, the farm wife, who for generations has too often been seen as a junior partner in the operation, and that the farmer really had to be the man, right? It's like the old Fred Astaire Ginger Rogers story where someone marvels at what a great dancer he is, and Ginger notes that she does the same thing, only backwards and in high heels. Joining me is a new generation of farmer, Jenny Sauer Schmidgall.
Women have always been farming. The problem was that women were not acknowledged as being a farmer and doing farm work.
Jenny farms in West Central Illinois near Winchester,
about 3 hours south of Chicago.
After high school, she left the farm to go to college at all of the U of I's.
Champaign, Springfield, and Chicago. Ended up graduating with honors in biology.
And using that degree, she did research and published papers on the immune system in the eye. Then, a real sharp turn in her career took her into acting and a move to Los Angeles.
I am actually still in the SAG-AFTRA union.
And after moving back to Chicago and becoming an author, writing a book making fun of her dating experiences, she wound up back on the family farm where her dad and her grandpa were partners. And her grandpa passed away.
And I didn't think it was okay that it was just my dad.
And now she's a full-time farmer, raising cattle and soybeans and corn. Oh, and pumpkins and sweet corn, too. Now, farming is still a very tough physical job, but thanks to technology, it's more brains than brawn.
You have to be knowledgeable of mechanics and be able to use your strengths mentally and physically.
Jenny also got into the clothing business after posting a T-shirt people wanted to buy, reading GMO Survivor. You can see more on Twitter at The Witty Farmer. She also went on FarmersOnly.com, found love, and they have a toddler who came at one of the busiest times.
She was born at the end of October, so right during harvest.
Happy Farm Mother's Day to Jenny and all moms. That's the business of food. Oh, it's National Roast Leg of Lamb Day today on 720 WGN.
I was trading text messages with Nick Nagley from Whiskey Acres the other day, and I thought one of the nice sure signs that we're coming out of the pandemic is they're no longer making hand sanitizer at the place that came to be making whiskey and bourbon. At least I think that's how that story goes. Nick, you're on the air. How are you today?
Good afternoon, King John. I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. Is that true? You guys are done with the hand sanitizer? You sort of segued there, and you're not doing that anymore, are you?
We've got a few bottles here and there that if somebody's in a tight spot, we can get them some hand sanitizer, but we are 100% focused on making bourbon and rye whiskey out here today.
It's Whiskey Acres, and out here is out by DeKalb, right?
Yeah, we're just about 60 miles straight west of Chicago, about a mile south of the interstate. If you haven't been out here in a little while, you won't really recognize the neighborhood anymore. Facebook is currently building an $800 million cloud computing facility about a mile north of our visitor center. So our little quiet spot isn't as quiet as it used to be, but there's some fun neighbors in the neighborhood now.
Well, it's farm country at the end of the day, you know, DeKalb corn and all of that. And that's part of the, I think, brilliance or good fortune of your brand is that you grow your own corn, right?
Well, it's not just our corn. So we're out here on a fifth generation farm, and we grow corn, as you mentioned, our own rye, our own wheat, and we've also begun growing our own barley. So we truly control everything that we do, from the seed that we put into the ground to the spirit we put in the bottle. We like to say that great whiskey isn't made, it's grown.
So talk to me about this competition you guys entered your spirits in.
Yeah, so there's a competition in the whiskey world that's known as the San Francisco World Spirits Competition. It's where all the who's who send their products to get blindly judged by third-party experts, and then you get the results back and hope they liked your stuff. And so it's actually not a cheap thing to enter, so you got to be very strategic about sending product in. And we chose four different things, and the first one that we sent was our blue popcorn bourbon, and that's a part of our Artisan Series line. We make bourbon from blue popcorn, and we got the results on that. We got a gold medal, and we thought, well, we're doing pretty good. And then we got the results back on our bottle and bond bourbon, and we got a double gold medal. And we got the results on our bottle of bond rye, double gold medal. And we got the results back on your favorite bourbon finished in maple syrup casks, double gold medal. So in the San Francisco World Spirits Competition, there's about 1,300 different whiskeys that are judged, and 96 of them get double golds or double golds this year, and we were three of them.
Congratulations,
Illinois boys making
bourbon. Yeah, no kidding. Well, you and I were trading messages not that long ago. I'm like searching through Chicagoland to try and get that maple cask stuff. Where do folks buy your stuff?
So we're available throughout the state, you know, places at all the Binnings locations, liquor and wine locations throughout the kind of the western suburbs, many Mariano's, little places like Royal Wren, which is a cool store in Geneva. And you can come to our visitor center here, which is actually another big announcement, is we are reopening today. We have not had our indoor space open to the public in, I don't know, 13 months, 14 months, whatever it is. So today's a big day out here for us.
I'm really happy for you. I mean, all the fun of having a nice glass of bourbon to the side. This is a business. So are you up to full staffing then again?
So we're proud to say that actually every team member that we had, you know, when COVID hit in March of 2020 is still on the team today. And we've actually added six new employees on top of them. So we are we've maintained and added and are really proud of the team we put together to you know, to make and serve whiskey. That's I often kid with my distillers that making it's the easy part and selling it's the hard part. But it all is a true labor of love, and we've got a great team to take care of that process.
At the San Francisco World Spirits Competition, three of the 96 double golds out of 1,300 submitted were yours. When you see them in the aisles at the stores, it's a tall bottle. That's an ear of corn that's etched onto the front, and it's called Whiskey Acres. That's what I'm looking for, right?
That's what you're looking for. We're at many locations throughout the state, and we've got some limited releases that generally just go through the front door of our visitor center. We allow that to act as kind of a trial location. If it goes well here, then we increase the production and get it out to our retail partners. And if there are any other potential retail partners out there, we do work with Heritage Wine and Spirits for our distribution throughout the state of Illinois. So they're the folks to call if you want to get double gold on your shelves or on your back bar.
Okay, we're out of time. If you want to take the tour, you don't have to drive to Kentucky or Tennessee. Do it in the DeKalb area. Friday, 4:30 to 8:30 with a 6 p.m. tour. Saturdays and Sundays, too. That's the updated hours and tour schedule. You can find out more just by visiting their website. Where do I go to search out more about you?
WhiskeyAcres.com, or check us out at Facebook and just type in Whiskey Acres. You'll find everything you need to know.
Nick Negley, congratulations. Well done.
Cheers, John. My pleasure.
Cheers, indeed.